In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Happy Epiphany! In case you missed it, Epiphany snuck in last Tuesday. And for a while, we were missing one of them. They went out for coffee, and it took them a while to get back. But they are all here, safe and sound. We're happy to report that. But this is a little confusing if one tends to be linear, as my brain prefers. But I am getting over that slowly. It's a bit confusing because last week we heard about Jesus at age 12 staying behind in the temple and scaring the daylights out of his parents. Then on Tuesday, we go backward in time to the wonderful Epiphany story, where the Magi, or wise people, followed the star that heralded the Messiah's birth. They stopped in Jerusalem and had a little conversation with King Herod, and then traveled all the way to Bethlehem, where they found baby Jesus. We have not heard a word out of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew since he was 12 years old. But here, on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, Jesus speaks volumes, not to mention God. All the Gospels record the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. All record that the heavens were torn apart or were opened and a dove descended on Jesus. All report that a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom or with you I am well pleased." But only the Gospel of Matthew includes a little conversation between Jesus and John the Baptist. As we hear over and over again, John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance, not just for those little peccadilloes that we have, or personal sinfulness, or unfaithfulness, as we tend to imagine. No, John's deeper cry for repentance was a call to Israel as a whole to return to God, much like Isaiah, to prepare for the coming of the Anointed One and the inbreaking of God's kingdom. And then along comes that person John had been preaching about, presenting himself just like all the other sinners, the tax collectors and prostitutes, also known as the baptismal candidates, asking John to baptize him. How absurd that must have sounded to the Baptist. So John says, "So, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? This is all wrong. I am way below your station. What the heck is going on here?" Now Jesus, sensing some pushback, makes an appeal that cannot be ignored. "Help me out here, cousin, for you see, we are in this together. It may surprise you, but you have a very important role here. Together, we will fulfill God's will if you just allow this baptism to proceed. After all, you've been running around preaching about how I would be coming after you and how I would be baptizing not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, this is a whole new thing. I need to be anointed because everything you've been waiting for is about to happen. Are you in?" No one was disappointed that day. It is stunning to realize that the crowd is right there with Jesus. All those who come to be baptized, sinners, outcasts, those with nothing left to lose, they all see and feel the Spirit. They all hear God's voice revealing God's precious Son. They are all in the presence of the Holy Trinity. These are the folks Jesus chooses to be with as he starts his public ministry. These ordinary people are who God chooses to come among to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. I keep thinking about certain people I have seen being filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the best ways to describe them is that they are glowing. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever seen that? I tried to imagine how all these people in the crowd around Jesus and John must have glowed. This is the same spirit the disciples of Jesus received. It is the same spirit that descended on the crowd in the book of Acts. It is the same spirit we receive at our own baptism. Just like in the Gospel of John, when Jesus appears to his disciples, there are two parts to receiving the Spirit at baptism. The first is peace, a conveying of an underlying anchor in our souls. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." The second is action. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Spirit of God we are anchored to isn't aggressive. It will wait and wait and wait. It will always first ask, "Are you really in?" If the answer is yes, or even maybe, then it will ask more questions. Do you love me? Are you up to spending some time learning about my ways? Can you give it your best effort at turning against the things you have come to understand as harmful in the world? Will you help me take care of people who are hungry and sick, grieving, unhoused, or suffering, and show mercy? Will you seek peace? Will you try to give folks some hope? Will you love your neighbor as yourself and respect the dignity of every human being? When we can say yes to being a disciple of Jesus, we are commissioned for service in all those ways and more, right along with the expectation that we will strive to serve our promises. I will be with you in it. You are not alone. I will give you community, lots and lots of cousins, and together we will thrive. Look for those opportunities or ideas that bring a sparkle to your eye, an increase in energy, or a spring to your step. God is there. We have the ability to be Jesus' disciples, and together we have the capacity to set the room aglow. Amen.